No, 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 from the episode 30, I was just looking at the answer, I already forgot. That was impressive.
High five.
Yeah. Episode 30 of the show, Fist of Heaven. Okay. And then we immediately hit the mic. It should be noted, this is like our first time trying to record with both of us in the same room.
It's a Christmas miracle.
And with the dog trying to attack Stephanie, this should be great.
Help.
Yeah.
Help. Being attacked by a vicious beast.
He's mostly attacking with love, but whatever. So, as we, I think, mentioned last time, we did not cover M15 at all.
Yeah, nope.
Yeah, so that is basically what we're diving into now, because, oh my god, we're actually covering a set before it's, like, out. This is some kind of also Christmas miracle.
I was about to say.
Yeah. So
I don't have anything else to say for the rest of the episode. God dang it.
I mean, you briefly looked at show notes.
No. Anyway. Yeah, I know, it's just like you stole Christmas miracle, so what else am I here for?
I don't know. So, as I think most people have... Dog! Sorry, he's being special. So, as I think most people know at this point, the big thing with this set is that they're like the guest designers. So...
Swanky, swanky guest designers.
Yeah, do you want... Actually, I'll move this over to the big screen so it's easier to read.
Yay!
Okay.
Legibility!
Woohoo! So, do you want to, like, bounce back and forth again?
Sure.
Okay, do you want first?
Okay. So, first off, we have George Fan, who's the designer of Plants vs. Zombies, and he designed Genesis Hydra, which has a casting cost of X and 2 green. It is a rare, comes out, this is 0/0, the creature plant Hydra. When you cast Genesis Hydra, reveal the top X cards of your library. You may put a non-land permanent card with converted mana cost X or less from among them onto the battlefield, then shuffle the rest into your library, and Genesis Hydra enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it.
Like, this is probably the most use that an X thing has gotten in just the card text.
Yep.
Like, it's kind of like,
I usually get just, like, the one thing.
Yeah, like, I think it's supposed to, and frankly from the name, I think it's supposed to be similar to Genesis Hydra. No, not Genesis Hydra. Genesis Wave from Mirrodin. And I think that one was X and 3 green, and resulted in, it was like X and 3 green, search your library for, sorry, not search your library, go X cards deep in your library, and every permanent that costs X or less you put onto the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, you only get to get one, but it's still...
Get your pick.
Yeah, like, if it's a creature that passes the vanilla test, at least, you have a... Like, if you make the Hydra a 5/5, then you get a 5/5 and a 5/5. Like, if you're doing it right, you should basically get double your... Whatever you're putting, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that it's a plant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But... I mean, like, the...
It's a really, really cool designed Hydra.
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing, because you can definitely see how it's supposed to... Like, I can see sort of references to the Phytohydras from the first Ravnica. And it kind of looks like there's a tarantula right there. But I can't tell if that's... Like, at the very center of the art, it looks like there might be a tarantula. Or it could just be a head that's sort of contorting itself in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the way that it's sort of a... Venus flytrap style mouth. At least in the one in the focus, like the ones on the side start to get a little bit more creepy, tentacle mouthy.
Yeah, snaky or deep sea anglerfish.
Oh, good, yeah.
Sorry, I'm stealing the toy for dogs, which doesn't make it making any noises anymore.
And then, of course, copious amounts of skulls.
Ooh, and I am also just sort of now noticing that part of M15 is that they're also switching over to their own. I don't know if it's. They're switching the font, and I don't know if it's to a proprietary font, or if it's from, like, a general one to a proprietary one, but I know this one is proprietary. They might have been using one before. But you can really see it, especially in creature, like, the weird slant on plant, like, the P and the H. It just looks really nicely done.
Yeah, and I think it's a cool use of, you know, the light half and the dark half and stuff to kind of... Then with all the skulls, kind of touches upon the zombie thing.
Yeah.
It's like just a subtle, creepy. Nice little harkening.
Kind of creepy.
That too.
So up next we have from Mike and Jerry, also known as Gabe and Tycho of Penny Arcade, we've got Avarice Amulet.
Where? We're intelligible today.
Yeah. So apparently, before I get into this, apparently there's some kind of reference that I don't get because I didn't read very much Penny Arcade ever. Like, I find it very interesting, but it's something that I forget to go hunt up whenever the new one should be out. So I've not been good about keeping up on it. But apparently, and I just listened to the Mana Pool, they did a bunch of the spoilers. This is like a subtle reference to some kind of that there was an endless battle over, like, years between the two of them over in the cartoon. Comic. So, apparently there's a reference. So, for 4 colorless, it's an artifact equipment. It's a rare. Equipped creature gets +2/+0 and has vigilance. And at the beginning of your upkeep, draw a card. Whenever a creature dies, when equipped creature dies, target opponent gains control of Avarice Amulet, and the equip cost is 2. That's actually a really good card.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
Yeah. I'd also heard reference at some point that apparently the initial idea was that this was a creature.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a creature with its own stats, and then controller draws an extra card, and when, like, another creature dies or something that effect, then it goes to someone else.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of like this design very much.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's sort of, like, innocent-looking little thing, but also has, like, this idea that you could see people fighting over it.
Yeah, I like the idea that I think the crack sort of tells you that this has been used in some unsavory ways, or that at the very least it's been lusted after by multiple people who then fought over it.
Yep.
And I do like the single bit of information you have about the person holding it is just that their hand is coated, like, their inner hand is coated in blood.
Uh-huh. Almost like, you know, they were playing tug of war with it and stuff, and so the chain would have slashed its hand a little.
Yeah, and also sort of around the fingernails, as if they sort of were, like, clawing at someone to get at it.
Yeah, I'm imagining them, like, holding on to it and being dragged.
Yeah, it tells some disturbing things about them. And
there's a story right in that one picture alone.
It's and it's hard to do that with equipment, because a lot of the time they end up doing just, like, here's the equipment against, like, a flat background. And this isn't a super interesting background, but at least it gives you a bit of information about the thing itself.
Yep.
And it's fairly unique.
Okay, and then from Marcus Persone, Notch, creator of Minecraft, founder of Mojang, we have what I think is the most amusing card, obviously. Aggressive Mining, 3 colorless and a red. It's an enchantment. You can't play lands. Sacrifice a land. Draw 2 cards. Activate this ability only once each turn. And just...
Yeah, and it should be said, unless we specifically say otherwise, most of these designer cards are rare. There's like 3 that are uncommons, but almost all of them are rares.
Yep. And, of course, it has very, very square, cubic card art.
Yeah. Everything about this card comes from Minecraft.
Uh-huh. You have a set amount of land, and then you chip away at it.
Yeah. I do think it's kind of interesting that they don't try to that even though he clearly had some kind of creative input on this, he didn't try to bring it in any way away from one of his other properties, because, I mean, right now Mojang is working on... has, actually... They're doing, what is it, Scrolls, which is sort of a card game that I don't completely understand.
Mm.
There was another project that was like Cobalt or something like that. And there was Notch himself was working on a, like, space sim game that got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So I do find it interesting that he's again focusing back on just Minecraft. Mm. But I really blame them.
Yeah, it's this big successful thing.
I don't completely understand the part about you can't play lands, though.
Well, because you have, like, when you, like, load a Minecraft world, you have X amount of space, and that's all you get.
Yeah.
And stuff, you are in this world, you can't just hearken into other...
You can't just jump into creative mode.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And, like, even if you could, like, you're still in, like, a sort of more or less set area.
I think it's interesting. I'm not sure if it's good or not. Because, I mean, sacrificing the land... To draw 2 cards is a pretty powerful effect, but you can only do it so many times.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know how well it actually plays, but I do love how just very Minecraft it is.
Yeah, I especially love the idea of it's just like, I'm going to dig at the ground directly below my feet. Maybe I'll run into diamond, maybe I will fall into a lava pit.
Yep.
Like, having played far too much Minecraft, that happens a lot.
Uh-huh. And it's rule number 1, everybody breaks it.
Never mine straight down. like, I'm playing Space Engineers right now, and I keep breaking that rule, mostly because I have a jetpack, and because if I don't, I get lost.
Right, yeah.
It's very, very easy.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. Up next was Lord British himself. Oh, God, this nut bar. So, yes, by Richard Garriott, Lord British, the creator of the Ultima series. I don't believe he has the official title Lord British. He just kind of started demanding people call him that, and we listened. He created Shield of the Avatar. For one colorless, it is an artifact equipment. If a source would deal damage to an equipped creature, prevent X of that damage, where X is the number of creatures you control. It can equip for two, and this is one of the few cards that has flavor text. We are made stronger by those we fight for.
Hmm.
I am fairly certain this is a reference to the Ultima games, because I know most of them were about, like, building, or, like, they were sort of the penultimate, not penultimate, I don't want to say first, but they were some of the earliest, like, world-spanning RPGs,
mm-hmm.
and some of the first ones that had a level of, like, moral complexity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, just because everyone has a chest in their house doesn't mean you should loot it.
Right.
Like, they might get pissed at you if you do that. Or you could just be a horrible person and kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was an option in Ultima. I did not play in very many of the Ultima, or any, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely did.
Yeah.
Save Genesis.
I think the biggest thing Lord British has done at this point is become famous for demanding people call him Lord British and... like, funding massive amounts of the money he made from the Ultima series into space exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially since most of the government-run ones have sort of shut down. I believe
right.
he donates massive amounts of money to the SpaceX, like, the competition charity thing.
Mm.
I can't explain how they work, but...
Uh-huh. I don't really know what you're talking about. It sounds like a thing that maybe I heard about.
It's this... It's sort of like a charity fund to build private versions of the space shuttle
mm-hmm.
for commercial use.
Right.
And it's, like, today we're trying... I don't think it's actually set up like this, but it's the kind of thing where it's like, well, now we're trying to figure out what the best engine we should use should be. So, everyone try building one, send it, submit it to us, and the winner gets some money and helps us build the ship
mm-hmm.
that we're working.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they actually have an official ship now. It's like the Dragon.
Huh.
But I don't recall anything about it. And I don't remember when they are planning to actually put it into use, but, you know.
Right.
But it is, like, it's an amazing... It's an amazingly flavorful piece there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the idea that you are the... Or the equipped creature is now the representative of their people.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, their people will also protect them.
Yeah. And it's cool because it's, you know, amidst a sea of, like, other armor and weaponry and stuff, but the focus is really on the shield.
Yeah,
and
like,
stuff.
I can see at the very least there's one sword over there that might be another sword.
Uh-huh.
We've got one helmet, possibly a second helmet. I think this is a shield?
Uh-huh, chest plate behind the sword.
Yeah, chest plate there. I think this is actually not a shield, a pauldron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what this thing that looks sort of like a colander is. Who knows? But I do like that it's implied that this is part of an arsenal of
mm-hmm.
this avatar, this representative
mm-hmm.
of the people.
Yeah, it's sort of like the, what is it, like the stone soup folktale and stuff. It makes me think that, like, everyone chipped in together and
yeah.
stuff to put all these pieces.
Yeah. It's just a beautiful piece and works very well with what it's supposed to be representing.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's my turn. Okay, I was, like, trying to count in my head. I was like, I've already forgotten. David Cirlin, I apologize in advance for not knowing who really any of these people are, designer on Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix, Yomi, and he did Master of Predicaments, which...
Sorry, I was petting the dog, so I wasn't able to...
That's a little bit more important than opening the tab, as he crashes his head into my foot.
Okay.
Yes, Master Predicaments is a creature sphinx that costs 3 colorless and 2 blue, is a 4/4 with flying. Whenever Master of Predicaments deals combat damage to a player, choose a card in your hand. That player guesses whether the card's converted mana cost is greater than 4. If the player guessed wrong, you may cast the card without paying its mana cost.
I like that, because you have a 50-50 chance.
Uh-huh.
And
just seems very Sphinx-y to have, like, sort of, like, a riddle or puzzle and stuff. And
yeah, I like that it's the Sphinx idea of it's a riddle that you have no way of actually knowing if your answer is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that defines a Sphinx riddle. It's just, here's a question. How am I supposed to know that? I don't care. Like, the problem is you need to answer it. I don't care if you know the answer or not. Shoo, puppy. Good boy. Like, for some reason, what really strikes me about this is actually the detail on the paws. I don't know why.
Yeah, like, it seems like usually you see them, you know, in Sphinx position and stuff with their hands.
Yeah, or something sort of like regal, where they're trying to make the focus on sort of like the weird human head attached to this cat-like body.
Magnificent wings.
Yeah, in this case, you're getting a lot more of like the cat. Like, the wings are sort of there, and his head just doesn't draw a lot of focus.
I just realized it's a, you know, 50-50 question. It's not even like a riddle. And so I was like, I'm bored with you. Just, you know, do you think it's higher or lower than four?
Yeah.
Good for you.
But I for some reason, I'm drawn a lot more to the empty space in this and to the paws.
Same.
And the really well-done reflection.
Oh,
like,
yes.
The floor
yes.
is reflective, so you've got this, like, really well-done reflection of both the empty space and even the paws that looks really nice.
Well, yeah, the empty, it's a, you know, blue-yellowy kind of card and stuff, so you have the contrasting colors, complementary, really.
Yeah, and it looks as if, for some reason, the Sphinx is inside, like, willingly.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Instead of, you know, on a rocky perch somewhere. Tail is wet.
That's because he chews on his tail.
Yeah, maybe, like, he's in, like, a library or something. I would assume library, that'd be my guess and stuff, but just... He's probably a bit like, you know, I'm trying to rest or, you know, have some me time right now and you're coming in to bother me.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get, you know, me at my best.
I'm just not sure if the name really worked. Because I don't understand the master predicaments thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Well, puzzle riddle things are usually a sort of predicament and a Sphinx is just inherently a master of them, I guess.
That I can appreciate. The problem is he just doesn't seem like... The art doesn't really say that. And it doesn't really match with the...
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it could, but it's just not... quite there for me.
Okay. I think it works enough, but maybe not perfectly.
Yeah. It could use a little bit of work, but it's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, up next is Rob Pardo. He's the Chief Creative Officer at Blizzard. I'm a little bit confused by that, since technically Blizzard is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's Activision Blizzard, but I... It's weird, and frankly, Blizzard makes more money than the Activision side does anyway. So. He is the current lead designer for World of Warcraft, and he designed the Zathrid Slyblade, which is, I think, about this? Like,
maybe.
You and I talked about this, not as, like, talking about this on the show.
Right, maybe.
This is one of the uncommon cards, and this is one of my favorites. So, for two colors of black, it's a creature human assassin. It's a 2/1 with hexproof. This is the only mono-black card that has been printed that has hexproof.
Mm.
The only other black cards that have hexproof have blue, and one of them has green. And then for three colors and a black, until end of turn, Zathrid Slyblade loses hexproof and gains First Strike and Death Touch, which is, frankly, one of the best combinations of abilities ever.
Yep.
I'm just like, no, I win at combat. What? What? I win at combat, shut up. Like, why? Well, I walk behind you, I stab you in the back, and you fall over and die. Like, well, don't I get to hit you? No.
Nope.
No, you don't get to fight at all. Just deal with it.
Just wait.
And then at the end of turn, she, like, slinks back into the shadows, and you can't find her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just really like that design, because it works so well with the assassin theme.
Yep, definitely.
And I do note that we're seeing repetitions of Zathrid, which is a section of Chandelar, which appears pretty often in the core sets lately. And I wonder if that means we're going to see any more of the Zathrid cards, because, I mean, last year they had Zathrid Necromancer that, frankly, dealt... it was a card that dealt with humans, and I believe it was like... when a human dies, you get a 2/2 zombie. Oh god, I'm gonna die. Talk! Stephanie. No, it's like cough thing.
I could hit you in your chest and see if that breaks it loose, but I'm afraid you'd hit me.
That's why I'm saying keep talking.
Oh, I don't, well, I guess I'm just having sort of like Innistrad flashbacks with the bat and stuff. It's, you know, feeling really kind of gothic and vampiric, because I'm not as familiar with the Chandelier and the other stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Are you better yet?
Yeah, okay. Like, you ever get one of those things where it's just, like, a sharp little pain tickle at the back of your throat?
Mm-hmm. You're
just like, okay, if I don't cough right now, this is only gonna get worse. It was that. That was not fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Thankfully, not option. Often, but occasionally.
You can see, like, the level increase when I cough. I'm so sorry. But yeah, there was a vampire that could actually turn into a bat in Innistrad. What was that one?
Oh.
Because it was one of the flip cards.
Yeah. I might have it, but I'd have to go into my closet and dig through a box,
yeah,
and it's not going to happen.
Too. And for some reason, the bat in the background just reminds me of that.
No, especially because the way the light's hitting it, the shadow, it becomes,
yeah,
more bigger in human size.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't even realize. For some reason, that shadow that you're talking about, I actually thought that was sort of like a weird outcropping in the rock. I'm like, no, you're right. That's like... It's, God, I hate to use a Game of Thrones quote here, but even a little man can cast a very long shadow. Yeah.
One of these days I'll make the time to read that book series, and then I can start watching the show.
Go get your toy dog. So, I will congratulate Rob Pardo on that. Is, like, a beautiful card. Like,
mm-hmm.
That is great, like, one of my favorite designs. I think you've got this next one.
Yes. Isaiah Cartwright, lead game designer for Guild Wars 2, and he gives us I can speak, I promise. Warden from the Beyond.
It's another one of the uncommons.
Uh-huh. And it's very silvery, and it's got some blue and a little bit of yellow. It's like just enough. It's really nice. Okay. Two colorless, one white. It's a 2/2 creature human wizard with vigilance. And Warden of Beyond gets +2/+2 as long as an opponent owns a card in exile. And he also has some flavor text. He draws strength from a vast source few mortals can fathom.
I think he's, like, I'm getting the feeling that he is either from, actually, I think he's from Tarkir.
Hmm.
Because I was actually going to say he feels like he's from Innistrad, and then I started to look at his clothes. And his clothes do not match any magic set I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's got that sort of Asian, Mongolian...
Yeah, that sort of, like, it's leather with metal sort of woven onto it.
Uh-huh, the shingle.
Yeah.
Not quite shingle,
but
bit,
yeah,
plated.
Yeah, and... I was going to go with...
And the headpiece.
Yeah, the headpiece is very different from anything we've seen even recently in Magic. Because Magic, frankly, has been kind of focused on Western themes recently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... I don't even want to say that's Eastern. It's just not a traditional Western, medieval to,
yeah,
Renaissance headpiece.
And it just sort of looks like those, you know, the kind of crown of a dragon you often,
yeah,
see.
And, I mean, I was going to go with Innistrad because of the sort of, like... faces trapped in these mirrors,
mm-hmm,
thinking the Mirror Mad Phantasm,
mm-hmm,
sort of looks like that, but it's just not quite right.
Yeah.
And it's not something that they, like, the geists of Innistrad did not really manifest such human features most of the time.
Right. You know, there's a book series by Sarah Reese Brennan, and the first one is called The Demon's Lexicon. I haven't read the other two yet. But what happens there is that a dragon's spirit sort of manifests itself as into a person's body and stuff, and so it sort of makes me feel like, knowing the dragon lore as much as we do of,
yeah,
Tarkir and stuff, that, like, it could be dragon souls and stuff, you know, are more or less personable enough that,
yeah,
that's how they would manifest themselves.
I just like the idea that no matter what, he's drawing energy from not only people who are dead, but people who have just been completely removed from existence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of the few cards that really does this, because we haven't seen very many things that interact with exile.
Right. Like, in general, that's the idea.
Yeah, like, the most recent one that I can think of is, there was that mythic rare griffin that was blue in the last set of Innistrad. What was that one?
Avacyn Restored.
It was that one that could cast itself out of exile.
Mm.
And it was super weird, and it's just like, when would you use this? But okay. And I like that right now there's plenty of things that exile,
mm-hmm,
and it kind of implies a maybe an exile theme in the next set.
Right.
Because maybe we'll end up with something along the lines of, like, no, the dragons didn't actually all die, mm-hmm, out. They got... sort of like removed uh-huh. from existence, and they're fighting their way back in now.
I like that idea.
Like,
it could be like, there's often an idea in like religions and stuff of like a veil between worlds and stuff, and him being the warden of that.
I mean, we already saw something similar to that with Kamigawa, where there was a sort of physical veil between the spirit and the human world, and mm-hmm. the start of the block was when someone stole something from the spirit world, came back to the human side, and basically tore a hole in the veil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we saw, like, sort of similar things, too, with Innistrad, where they had, I think they called it the Great Sleep, where, mm-hmm. For some reason, when Avacyn became locked in the Hell Vault, all of the angels were no longer able to escort people's spirits to the Great Sleep, so instead they were trapped on Innistrad haunting people, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he kind of looks like he's going to end up being... there was a card in M14 called Blightcaster,
mm-hmm.
who was very unassuming, but turned out that he gave a hint at what Theros was going to be, because his ability was kind of similar,
mm-hmm.
which was whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you mm-hmm. may give target creature -2/-2 until the end of turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he also costs 3.
Uh-huh.
But I think this guy's a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, for 3, you're getting a 2/2 with Vigilance no matter what, and that's pretty good.
Uh-huh. That can, you know, depending on, you know, what you're playing and what the other person's playing, could easily become a 4/4.
Yeah, and I mean, let's face it, a lot of the ways that white does, like, destruction is exile that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, it looks like he's probably going to actually be pretty useful.
Yeah.
So up next is Justin Gary, designer of Ascension Chronicles of the Godslayer and Soulforge. I believe Soulforge is a MOBA, I don't remember what Ascension is. Spirit Bonds for 1 colorless and a white. It's an enchantment. Whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay white. If you do, put a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying on the battlefield, and it has, not the token, mind you, the card itself has, pay 1 colorless and a white, sacrifice a spirit, target non-spirit creature gains indestructible until end of turn. That's actually a really cool ability. Because mm-hmm. it's basically give every creature you play after this a... not a hiccup. A, like, one-time indestructibility.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm actually hiccuping again. Go, Steph, go.
Deep breaths. Deep breaths, Steven. First of all. Yeah, Spirit Bonds. I'm just looking over the card art. It's really pretty. I'm trying to piece it together a little bit more. I'm interpreting it as, like, her big brother's looking after her.
Yeah,
she looks feminine to me. It's hard to tell exactly.
She does. The character who is the focus does look feminine, and the character behind does look masculine. At the same time, I'm almost like, could they be the same person? Because they seem to have a similar armor design, where
uh-huh.
the figure in the background has this odd sort of circular piece right here, and
mm-hmm.
the figure in the forefront seems to as well,
mm-hmm.
with a similar strap.
Right.
But
I was wondering that as well.
But then the figure in the background has got these odd sort of like raised collars around his pauldrons, and the character in the forefront only seems to have one.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it is like a relative, like a brother or
spirit bonds. To me that implies some sort of, you know, ancestry kin thing, but
or even just like a closeness, and this is
uh-huh.
a person who they were close to that didn't survive whatever this horrible battle that
mm-hmm.
this person is just walking over was.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I am going to say, I think this might be Innistrad.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have, like, the idea of this, like, helpful good spirit, which do exist on Innistrad. They're just fewer.
Right.
And something about the odd rapier design seems to strike me
mm-hmm.
as kind of Innistrad.
Yeah, something about the armor of the, you know, people she's walking atop of also feels a bit of that age and era of Innistradiness to me as well.
It's just weird that she seems to be a lot more armored than we saw with a lot of Innistrad, because a lot of their stuff
uh-huh.
was tended to be leather. They seem to mostly be focusing on, if they were making anything out of metal, it was weapons.
Right.
And they seem to save, like, not value turning it into armor, since most of the things that they were fighting against would just keep hitting you until the armor broke.
Yeah.
But
and heavy.
Yeah, armor doesn't exactly help when you're trying to run away zombies.
Mm-hmm. Not so much.
I mean, it's not like these were the bite-you-and-turn-you zombies, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Up next is...
Stone Liebrand, lead designer at Riot Games, designer of Diablo 3, creative director of SimCity. And he gave us Goblin Kaboomist, which
I
is...
love this card.
I mean, if nothing else, that name is perfect, and yes.
First,
yes.
I just want to go over how...
I just use control click, by the way.
I know, I know I can, but first, I'm just like, what? How? Okay, so Riot Games is its own thing.
Okay.
He designed part of Diablo 3, which I guess he could have done that, then gone to Riot Games.
Mm-hmm.
But creative director of SimCity, is that the current SimCity? Because that had some problems. Or is that the original SimCity? I really have no... And how was he part of all of these?
I have no idea.
Because these are all different companies.
I would say... I think it implies original SimCity, because other things have, you know, threes and twos next to
but
them.
But the most recent one was just
was
SimCity.
Was it called... Really? Okay.
Yeah, because EA. That's pretty much the same.
Okay. Well... However that happened,
yeah.
We have Goblin Kaboomist, which is beautiful, perfect name, beautiful, frustrated card art. One colorless, one red. It's a 1/2 Goblin Creature Warrior. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a colorless artifact token named Landmine onto the battlefield with a cost red. Sacrifice this artifact. This artifact deals 2 damage to target attacking creature without flying. Then flip a coin. If you lose the flip, Goblin Kaboomist deals 2 damage to itself.
I must say, I like how the card art illustrates this perfectly.
Because
It's like, the one he's laying down in the ground is just like, okay, it's there, it's done. However, he's holding the next one and it's already lit. He's just like, I don't even care.
Yeah, there's a bit of like, I'm frustrated, I'm done, but also like, oh yeah, we're gonna blow some shit up.
I'm not even seeing like, I'm frustrated, like, I'm done. I'm seeing more like, oh my god, this is gonna look so awesome. But, like, I like how he's got this full backpack, but he's just so in a hurry to cause this horrible chaos that he's like, I've already lit the next one.
I feel like there's almost 2 that are lit, because I feel like
yeah,
I'm seeing
a second light, too, and there's even a smoke trail. So maybe he's holding 2 that are lit, and he's just like, I'm really sure I can plant these before I need to. Like, I'm
Who
really
came up with the term Kaboomist? Because that person needs an award.
I choose to believe that it was Stone Liebrand. I'm so sorry if we're mispronouncing your name, but
Liebrand,
still.
Liebrand, Liebrand. Liebrand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I choose
we're doing
to
our best.
It was them, because that is, like, beautiful and very appropriate for a goblin.
Yes. Yes.
So, up next we have Brian Fargo, founder and CEO of In Exile Entertainment, director of Bard's Tale, Wasteland, and executive producer of Fallout. Nice. Oh god, this card has such a weird name. Yisan, the Wanderer Bard. I, for some reason, every time I read this, was like, the Wandering? No, the Wanderer. Like, the Wanderer? No, the Wanderer Bard.
English is a weird language.
Yeah. So, this is one of the cycle of rare creatures. They are all brand new rare creatures. This is the green one for 2 colorless and a green. Legendary creature, Human Rogue. He's a 2/3 with tap, pay 2 colorless and a green, tap, put a verse counter on Yisan the Wandering Bard. Search your library for a creature card with converted mana cost equal to the number of verse counters on Yisan. Put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. I like that it's sort of like, what's it called? Birthing Pod.
Mm.
Except the Birthing Pod was sacrifice a creature, go find a creature that is 1 converted mana cost more expensive. And I just like the idea that this is an interesting thing that green does, and this is a very nice, like, build around me card.
Because
if you go, like, wait, oh god, no, I don't have any 4 costs! Like, I just wasted this, and I searched my library. Crap. And then I choke and die.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. The one problem is, you have to put a verse counter on it, so you can only use it so many times. Admittedly, he'll probably die before you get to that point, but
yeah.
If you play goofy multiplayer games like I tend to do, you may end up where it's just like, there are no creatures in Magic who cost this much. But still, I kind of like the idea here.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea in his art where he's just like, I summon this, what you gonna do?
Mm-hmm. I do like the idea of having one of those, like, ridiculously high-cost things in your deck and stuff and just using him to get it out.
Like, you have to take a while to do it, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you could put an artifact in there, you know, give him indestructible or something. And...
Oh, yeah, but it's the kind of thing where you need to either have a way of untapping him,
uh-huh.
or you need to have something that increases the amount of counters you're putting on.
Uh-huh.
So, like,
Hi.
Doubling Season would not be bad, because you could basically go, first time you do it, look for something that's two converted mana cost instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
Proliferate wouldn't be bad, because then you can just add another one.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the art here, and
yeah.
Oh, wow, I just noticed something.
What?
I'm dying.
You just noticed that?
No, not really.
Oh.
So his loot
uh-huh.
is actually made from pieces of the same kind of insect as is right next to him.
Huh.
Like, it looks like the strings might actually be made out of the weird antenna tendril things that are coming off of it. And then the main, like, arches of the loot are made out of the mandibles.
Uh-huh.
Just sort of facing out the other way.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, I just summoned this one species of thing. It's just that sometimes I get bigger ones.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing that I was thinking is there's sort of a Middle Easternness about his armor, which makes me feel like it's...
More Tarkir ideas?
No, not necessarily. More like an exaggerated version of Snake Charming.
Oh. Yeah, I can definitely see that. But I'm just trying to think if there's any sort of meaning behind the fact that he's implied to be blind in one. Or if that's just because eye patches are cool.
I would say eye patches are just cool.
I mean,
but
they are,
you know my
but...
bias.
Yeah. Oh, hello, puppy. You're very
funny. Well, isn't that another thing you often see with, like, the snake charmer people and stuff? Is that they're, you know, sort of, like, beggarly type stuff? And
he
stuff.
Doesn't really strike me as a beggarly
well,
type.
Well, maybe, like, no, what I'm saying
you
is, like...
You poked the button on my chair.
You fiend.
No, you did.
Oh,
your
I did?
Butt.
Oh,
yes.
I apologize. Apologize.
Messing with my chair. I'm going to fall over and die.
I didn't mean to. I repent for my sins.
Yeah.
No, but maybe, like... You know, he started that way as, like, a young child, but then he realized he had a talent for it and stuff, and he got more and more bamf.
Oh, maybe.
And now he's like, I got a giant worm, mofos!
What you gonna do?
Nothing.
Well, before we keep going on about that, I think the next one is yours?
Yep. Yeah, because you couldn't pronounce Wanderer. So
yeah.
We have... Can you move the cursor? Because I can't see what letter
yes,
that
sorry.
Is. Mike Newman, Gearbox Software Creative Director on Borderlands.
Yeah.
And he gives us Chasm Skulker.
Oh my god, I love this one.
Which is a beautiful, beautiful creature.
Terrifying thing.
Beautiful creature squid horrors. two colorless.
Okay, hang on. Before you keep going, every time I hear his name said, no matter how correctly it's pronounced, I swear that the person says squid whore. I know it's squid horror, but I hear squid horror.
Okay. Two colorless, one blue is a 1/1 beautiful creature squid horror. Whenever you draw a card, put a +1/+1 counter on Chasm Skulker. When Chasm Skulker dies, put X 1/1 blue squid creature tokens with Island Walk onto the battlefield, where X is the number of +1/+1 counters on Chasm Skulker. Can't be blocked as long as blah, blah, blah. You know how Island
yeah.
Walk works. And, yep. I'm kind of into squids.
Yeah, okay, this is amazing. Like, I like how it's just whenever I draw a card. Not the first card you draw on each of your turns, or the card that you draw as part of your draw step. It's just every time I draw a card, this thing gets bigger. You sure you want to kill that? You sure? Sorry, the dog is staring at me like you've betrayed me because I'm holding his toy so he doesn't make noise.
How could you do this?
He makes a lot of noise.
You cruel, hateful, hurtful being.
I know. Yeah. Like,
not as cruel and hurtful as Chasm Skulker could be.
Oh, God. I love what this card does. The art is terrifying and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, possibly my favorite part about this is that it's clear that it's coming out of, like, those dark, terrifying depths where you never want to actually go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, tearing apart the seawall with one of its tentacles.
Yep.
As it just rises out of the depths of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. And, like, there's a lot of it that is not very squiddy about it, but then you can definitely tell that that's what it is. It is,
yeah.
like, a crackin' squid horror, beautiful, magnificent beast.
Terror.
Yep. I approve.
Yes, good
10
job,
out of 10,
Mike.
Stephanie would recommend.
Good job, Mike. Oh, I love this one.
This one's beautiful.
So, James Ernest, owner and designer of Cheap Ass Games, designer of Kill Dr. Lucky. This is a game where I know I've heard of it.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea what it is about or why I've heard of it. But
what are you doing?
It is Hot Soup.
Yep.
For one colorless. It's an artifact equipment. It's one of the uncommons. Equipped creature can't be blocked. However, whenever equipped creature is dealt damage, destroy it. Equipped for 3. Coming through! I just love that. It's just like, no one wants to mess with him because he's carrying hot soup,
mm-hmm.
but that one guy who accidentally trips him, suddenly he spills hot soup all over himself.
Yep. You can just see the look of panic in that one guy's face in the foreground. It's like, oh god, the soup!
And then
he's
just
soup.
Like, oh my god, watch out, there's hot soup coming!
That too.
Yeah, like, he turns to the rest of everyone, and you can see him, like, cupping his mouth. He's just like, watch out!
And my headcanon is that it's Eowyn's terrible, terrible soup from, crap, is it Two Towers or Return of the King?
I have no.
But yeah, in the extended versions, you'll see that she gives Aragorn some really, really, really gross soup that he spits out and stuff, and that is the only acceptable soup for this goblin to be carrying.
I just love this card. It's so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they named it Hot Soup. They could have named it, like, Burning Tar or something like that, but no, it's Hot Soup.
Yep.
Just makes it funnier.
I feel like it's a thing. It's like, you know, stepping on a Lego. It's one of those things that we can identify with. Like, as a small child, you tried drinking chicken soup that was too hot.
So, this is one who I love, and just the name of this card fits perfectly.
Yep.
So, Edmund McMillan, indie designer.
You're taking
of...
this one, too? Okay.
Oh.
Well, you cared.
Oh, just... I forgot. I'm sorry. I forgot I did hot soup. Yeah, it's totally yours. Sorry.
Right. Edmund McMillan is the indie designer of Super Meat Boy, featured in the indie game The Movie.
I don't know why they mentioned that.
But, in any case, he has given us Cruel Sadist. Which sounds a little redundant, but...
Okay. Have you ever played Super Meat Boy?
No, I'm just vaguely familiar that it exists. Aware.
The name Cruel Sadist works perfectly for Super Meat Boy.
Okay.
For those of you who haven't played it, it's possibly one of the hardest platformers out there, where you are playing as Meat Boy, who's just a square guy with legs and arms who is made out of a pile of meat, trying to rescue your girlfriend, who I can't remember her name, but she's made out of bandages, from the evil Dr. Fetus. He is a fetus inside a robot. And the entire point of it is that you're trying to get there through this massive series of, like, puzzles and things, but all of the puzzles are basically, like, jump through this horrible death pit of saws and meat grinders and spikes and horrible things. And it's one of those things where it's just, like, you know, when you play the game, it's like, I'm the one who screwed up there. It's not because the game is bad or because the controls aren't good. It's like, I screwed up and I did that wrong. And I'm going to keep doing it until I do it correctly.
Nice.
Yeah, so it fits perfect.
So Cruel Sadist, she's very attractive with that horrifying scythe sickle in her hand.
It's like a tiny
scythe. She just has one black as her casting cost. She's a 1/1 creature human assassin. For her casting cost, you can also tap her and pay one life, put a +1/+1 counter on Cruel Sadist, or pay 2 and one black, tap, remove +1/+1 counters from Cruel Sadist. Cruel Sadist deals X damage to target creature. Oh, sorry. Face of Innocence, Hand of Death.
Yep. And I love that they say Face of Innocence, and, like, you look at her and... like,
it's an attractive, small, young girl.
Until you reach the sickle, like, you could almost believe that she's someone from, like, a fairly high caste of society.
Mm-hmm.
Who's just, like...
yeah, maybe because of, like, a zombie apocalypse or something, has run into the woods to hide or something.
Yeah, I mean, if it weren't for the whole woodland thing, you'd just, like, she'd fit in perfectly at some kind of ball or something. Like,
yep.
She looks like she just walked out of a...
yeah, ballroom.
Yeah, a ballroom. Like, with a sickle for some reason, into a swamp.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh no, she's just here to kill me. Okay.
Yeah, she's... okay. Yeah, and then, like, you look closer at her eyes, and it's, like, all hollow, and it's just like, you're
and
a creature,
like,
of the night.
Creepy orange glow behind them, too. And I think, I like that they sort of, the artist shaded her face to sort of bring that out, as if that's not something you can normally see.
Uh-huh.
It's like, when her face is shaded, just, like, there's this horrible, like... you played State of Decay with me. It's like that.
Uh-huh.
And you're looking, like,
yeah.
All you can see in the zombie is just the terrifying glowing eyes.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how, like, dark it is right at her face, because the rest of the card really isn't all that dark.
I think it's the idea that, like, there's probably, yeah, the branches, like, a branch and right stuff up there that's covering her.
But, I mean, like, the feel of the card is so dark and so black, like, you've... But then, like, looking at it, it's like, you know, it's probably, you know, yeah, midday or something.
It's that facade that Black puts on. It's just mm-hmm. like, no, I'm not that evil. Mm-hmm. She's just like, but I'm about to stab you in the back, so...
Yeah.
Like, I like how it's... Almost her entire body is in the light. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to fade out of the light as you go down towards the sickle. Like, there's a tiny glint of it in the light, and the rest of it enters back into the shade.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like those little things that she's hiding from the...
Yep.
It's so well done.
Yes.
And
now it's your turn.
Okay, I'm so sorry about that.
It's fine.
So, Brad Muir, game designer at Double Fine Productions, leading Massive Chalice Project, project lead on Iron Brigade, which I think has already come out, and I don't remember. Double Fine has done some weird things, but some pretty interesting things, too. So, Obnixilus Unshackled. He is another one of the cycle of rares who we've got.
Mm.
For 4 colorless and 2 black, he's a legendary creature demon. He's a 4/4 with flying and trample. So since the last time we saw him back in Zendikar, he has gained flying.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever an opponent searches his or her library, that player sacrifices a creature and loses 10 life.
Beautiful.
Whenever another creature dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Obnixilus the Unshackled.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet.
Yep.
Like, I think what his first ability is probably going to end up being is basically opponents can't search libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And no one will be crazy enough to actually let that go off, but still.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, his other ability is just good on its own.
Yep.
It's like, I'm flying, I trample, I punch through your, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your creature dies,
yeah, it's like,
more meat for me.
Like, I punch, you have the choice of either, okay, if I block with this one creature, I will take only one damage, but he'll get a +1/+1 counter and I won't kill him. If I block with these two creatures, then I think, like, then he'll get 2 +1/+1 counters and he might not die. Oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he's going to be a very, very good card.
Yeah.
Because,
like, if your own creature dies and stuff, yeah, it's like, like, oh, I can't quite take out a 4/4 yet, or you've put several counters on him already, I can't take
it's
out
like,
your 7/7.
Oh, no, my Goblin Kaboomist actually accidentally blew himself up. Well, Obnixilus gets bigger. It's like, Kaboomist accidentally blows up, and...
It's like, oh, no, Kaboomist blew himself up.
What I'm basically seeing here is the Kaboomist just, like, sets his landmine, which it should be said, the Kaboomist keeps those landmines, like, you keep those landmines if they... Once the Kaboomist sets them,
mm-hmm,
he then accidentally blows himself up, and Obnixilus just kind of goes like, oh, well. Just picks up the goblins and just like...
It's got a lovely sear on it. It's very good. Yeah, nice, delicate, sear, smoky flavor.
Okay, now I can punch you for 5.
It's perfect.
Sorry, but that mental image is just so great. I love it.
Yes. Yes. So, much approve.
Yes. So there technically is one more,
mm-hmm,
one more specially designed one. Where is, uh-huh, it? It's under black. Where is it? Isn't it showing up here? There it is. Waste Not, which was designed by the Magic community. I don't know why they decided they wanted to do an enchantment, but that's what everyone voted. So
enchantments were fun in Theros.
Yeah, they were, but I don't know why they, like. I think the choice was between, like, land and enchantments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. For whatever reason, I'm super into fancy lands, but yeah, I get that.
Well, that's just it. I'd like to see what they would do for the magic community, design a land, because,
yeah,
like, I want to see what they would end up doing, but this is not a bad enchantment. Let's
right.
Face.
Okay.
You'll see.
So, Waste Not, 1 colorless, 1 black. Whenever an opponent discards a creature card, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield. Whenever an opponent discards a land card, add 2 black to your mana pool. Whenever an opponent discards a non-creature, non-land card, draw a card.
Yeah, I really like the idea that this works very well with a dedicated black discard deck.
Mm-hmm.
Which, let's face it, with the way mono black has been... You could probably tweak it to that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, like, it costs 2. It has 1 black in its cost. It helps your devotion to black. It gives you a a devotion to Black Freer. Mm-hmm. What is it? Grey Merchant of Asphodel.
Mm-hmm.
Go Gary. So, like, it is a very good card.
Yeah. But I feel like I'd like to see whenever a player discards a card, because I feel like there's a lot of, like, yourself discarding in black and stuff.
Or
black-blue is a really popular combination.
As we go through some of the things that have been shown so far, I think you'll see that they're trying to return to, like, blue-black was a milling strategy before, mm-hmm. like, especially with Ravnica. I think they're moving back towards black, trying to be more discard,
uh-huh.
making people discard.
Right.
And I think that's what they're trying to refocus on for M15. I don't know what they'll do with Tarkir, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the main... There aren't that many spoilers right now, so I think we'll probably go through most of them. So, which one of these two do you want?
I'll take number two.
Okay. So that means I get Ajani, Steadfast, because we're getting another Ajani. Oh my god, Kitty Man number 5.
Yay.
Is it 5? Yeah, because Goldmane, Vengeant, then they printed Goldmane again, and then it was the Pride color, something like that, then Mentor of Heroes, and now Ajani Steadfast. So, for 3 colorless and a white, it's a Planeswalker Ajani. He's mythic rare, because duh. I actually haven't read him yet, so
we'll learn together.
I'm learning this along with everyone else. So his loyalty is 4. His +1 is until end of turn, up to 1 target creature gets +1/+1 and gains first strike, vigilance, and lifelink. Awesome. Just awesome.
Yep.
-2, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control and a loyalty counter on each planeswalker you control. Yeah. So far I'm really liking this,
mm-hmm.
like a lot. -7, you get an emblem with, if a source would deal damage to you or a planeswalker you control, prevent all but one of that damage. Yeah, okay, I want this card. Like,
yeah.
He's really good. Oh god, I'm gonna have to buy Surf Team.
There.
Yeah.
Pat.
He's on Tarkir. There's a dragon in the background right there. I think he's supposed to be on Tarkir.
Nice.
Because that is not the kind of dragon that we have ever seen on any other plane.
Mm-hmm.
Because that dragon is really wrong for Alara. Incredibly wrong for, what plane did we just leave?
Theros?
Yes, because the dragons on Theros have a very specific and very weird line.
Mm-hmm.
Where else have we seen Ajani? We've seen him on Lorwyn, where there are no there's, like, one dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, and, and all the mountaininess in the background.
Yeah, I think he's on Tarkir.
I concur.
Huh. And I just love that, again, there is only one Ajani in the entire game whose abilities are not built around helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Ajani Vengeant, when he's all young and vicious and actively trying to kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, again, he's got his +1, which for most of the Ajani is the only way that they can get +1 or any plus loyalty, is to give some benefit to creatures you control, requiring that you have other creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And I love his -2 is just everyone gets bigger, also planeswalkers get bigger too.
Yay!
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Everybody in the pool, it's a party!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's pretty groovy. It's pretty groovy.
So I believe you get the next one.
Okay. We have Avacyn, Guardian Angel. It's 2 colorless, 3 white. It is a 5/4 legendary creature angel, of course, with flying, of course, and vigilance. And for 1 colorless, 1 white, prevent all damage that would be dealt to another target creature this turn by sources of the color of your choice. For 5 colorless and 2 white, prevent all damage that would be dealt to target player this turn by sources of the color of your choice.
It's just like that. Yeah, you, that thing, that thing can't be hit by red right now. That one can't be hit by black. It's just like, that big guy who summoned me, he can't be hit by whatever color I choose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's nice.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit expensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the second ability.
Yeah. I mean, I can appreciate that's something that should cost a lot of money,
uh-huh.
or a lot of mana.
It's 5/5/4. I don't know if that's...
Yeah,
it's still expensive, but not...
See, 5 for a 5/4 with flying and vigilance, not... That's, like, pretty payable. The problem is that 3 of that 5 has to be white mana.
Right.
Is a little bit backbreaking there, but it's not...
Depending on what kind of deck you're running.
Yeah. But I mean, we are about to leave. We're about to leave the area of like perfect mana. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, the old Corset duels are no longer in. In fact, they've shown what duels they decided that we'll actually put some duels in, mm-hmm. but they're not exactly duels that I care for.
Mm.
They are the Pain Lands, which I'm sure everyone will see. So basically, I think they've announced that they're doing all the enemy-colored ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they come down, they're not tapped. They can tap for a colorless mana, or they can tap for one of two enemy colors,
mm-hmm.
and if they do so, they ping you for one life.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be left with those and the Scrylands that come into play tapped. So
thank you for punctuating that point, Oliver.
Yeah, so we're losing perfect mana with... We won't have the shocks or anything else like that anymore. So, up
next
is...
It's my Swanee Griff.
Yeah, well, that's actually something that I want to talk about, too, in a little bit. So, up next, though, we have Boonweaver Giant. 6 colorless, 1 white. He's a creature giant monk. He's uncommon. He's a 4/4 for 7, so he better have a good ability.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Boonweaver Giant enters the battlefield, you may search your graveyard, hand, and or library... for an aura card, put it onto the battlefield attached to Boonweaver Giant. If you search your library this way, shuffle it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sweet, actually.
Yep.
It's just like, I come down, give me an aura. However, you cannot do that with a bestow creature, because
mm-hmm.
they're not an aura when they're not in, if they have not been cast as
mm-hmm.
cast with bestow.
Mm-hmm. Alright, Dauntless River Marshal. 1 colorless, 1 white. He's a 2/1 creature human soldier. Uncommon. Dauntless River Marshal gets +1/+1 as long as you control an island. And for 3 colorless and 1 blue, tap target creature. Thieves and squits serve in the same way when you capture them.
Okay.
I like it.
I can't tell if he's, like, holding a mini... Oh, he is holding a mini anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, every time I saw this before, I was like, that looks like the most ineffectual crossbow ever.
I thought it was like a fish hooky
yeah.
thing, maybe.
Well, something. It looks like it's tied down, so I guess...
Does it?
Yeah, like it's
okay.
tied to his boat at the very least.
Okay.
So he's part of...
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so he's part of a cycle where each color has a creature that gets +1/+1 if you have one of the allied colored lands
mm-hmm.
and has an ability that is an off-color activation.
Mm-hmm.
So up next we have Hushwing Griff. If you've forgotten, Griffs are from Innistrad. We saw them briefly in Avacyn Restored. However, they didn't actually have their own card. There was, like, a knight who rode a griff.
Mm-hmm.
And...
It was a Swanee Griff.
Yeah, and they were, like, referred to. And they're basically griffins where instead of the head of an eagle and everything, they're all supposed to be, like, not storks. I guess it's a crane?
Crane,
I think it's a crane, because it's whatever creature is supposed to represent Avacyn.
Egret? I don't know.
I think it's a crane.
It's listing
sure.
things I see when I used to walk my dog down the river.
Yeah. So for some reason it is a creature hippogriff.
Herring.
For 2 colors and a white, it's a rare. It's a 2/1 with flash, flying, and creatures entering the battlefield don't cause abilities to trigger.
Hmm.
Which, like, immediately makes Boonweaver Giant horrible. He's just like, I pay 7 and cast Boonweaver Giant. I'm going to flash into Hushwing Griff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh! Like, yeah,
which would be really feasible because it's only 3.
Like, I just paid 7 for a 4. Goody.
Yay.
An overwhelming sense of calm accompanies the griffs that wield above the roofs of Gavinny.
Hmm. Keeping stuff from going awry. I'm sorry, I'm just briefing the art.
Okay.
Prettiness in the Tudor-style houses. Tudor-style houses are my absolute favorite.
I'm a little bit confused that it says it's over Gavinny when we have this sort of, like, castle out over on what appears to be water.
Because
that would imply it's Nephalia. And, in fact, sort of the house design implies a level of Nephalia as well. Like, both of these are, in case you did not play Black back in Innistrad, both of those are sections of Innistrad. They're just different sections.
Right.
Yeah. So do you want to take
okay.
the next one?
Yes. Preeminent Captain, also 2 colorless and 1 white, is a creature. Kithkin Soldier is a 2/2 with first strike. Whenever Preeminent Captain attacks, you may put a soldier creature card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped and attacking.
I believe he's a reprint from Morningtide.
Hmm.
Because they had a big thing about pushing for another, like, Lorwyn was tribal-themed, and then so was Morningtide, but Morningtide was more about less tribal, more the, like, jobs. So mm-hmm. it was, like, shamans, wizards, soldiers, warriors, there was something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, up next is Return of the Ranks. For X and 2 white, it's a sorcery with the returning mechanic, Convoke. Your creatures can help cast this spell. Each creature you tap while casting this spell pays for one colorless or one mana of that creature's color.
Hmm.
And it's... did I mention it was a rare? I hope I did.
Did now.
Yeah. Return X target creature cards with converted mana cost 2 or less from your from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Nice.
I don't like that it's your battlefield, your graveyard only, but it's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's supposed to be...
later in the game, when you'd have a lot of creatures and or mana, you could, you know, also return a lot of creatures.
And I believe that's supposed to be... What's his name? Gideon Jura, like, coming in and saving someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why,
come back!
When I'm not seeing this on, like, the big screen that we're looking at,
mm-hmm.
usually it looks like his head is horribly distorted, like his neck is too long.
Huh. Well, I see why
it
could look like that.
It's just something about the way that the light is shining from behind that...
A little bit.
Well, do you want the next one?
Okay. Soul of Theros. 4 colorless, 2 white. Creature avatar is a mythic rare. 6/6 with vigilance. 4 for casting cost, basically. Creatures you control get +2/+2 and gain first strike and lifelink until end of turn. Also for its casting cost, exile Soul of Theros from your graveyard. Creatures you control get +2/+2 and gain first strike and lifelink until end of turn.
So this is part of a cycle that they're trying out in this set, which are the souls. They're basically a replacement for the titans that were last seen in 2012? Corset 2012, I believe. So they all cost the same, which is 4 colorless and 2 of whatever mana they're supposed to belong to. I'm stealing this from.
Okay.
Give me that, you pest. Then they all have 6 power. They're all mythic rares. They're all creature avatars. And they all have some basic ability, like vigilance, flying, something. And then they have an ability that they have twice. They have, in this case, pay an amount of mana, creatures you control get +2/+2, gain first strike and lifelink until end of turn. And then they have the same ability, but they can use it from their graveyard once.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized that they also work to power up Warden of the Beyond, because they have to exile themselves,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty sweet.
Okay, so who's next? Chief Engineer.
So Chief Engineer, for 1 colorless and a blue, he is a creature Vedalken Artificer. He is a rare. He's a 1/3. Artifact spells you control, so basically the cards in your hand and library, you cast have Convoke. So basically your creatures can help cast them.
Hmm.
So what that's probably going to end up being is creatures can tap for colorless mana whenever you play artifacts while he's out. Since colored mana probably won't be a big deal with artifacts, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
An eye for detail, a mind for numbers, a soul of clock. I think he's on Ravnica.
Soul
I can't really
of
tell.
Clockwork.
We haven't really seen Vedalken in many places lately,
mm-hmm.
and he's not a Mirrodin Vedalken. One, because Mirrodin is now new for Exia, and they look horrifying now. Two, because they have forearms on Mirrodin reasons.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a...
A soul of clock? What does that mean? I've not heard that before.
I assume it's that he's not exactly... he doesn't exactly consider life an important thing.
Hmm.
He's just like, no, the machine must keep going. The machine will never stop.
Yeah. Sounds very automaton-y. Eye for detail, members.
Yeah.
Lucery Angel?
Yeah.
Cool. Lucery Angels, 2 colorless and a blue, is an uncommon 4/4 angel illusion with flying. Cast Illusory Angel only if you've cast another spell this turn. In a daze, I woke and looked upon the battlefield where I could swear my dreams were laying waste to the enemy. Letter from a soldier.
Hmm. That's actually pretty cool. And I love the art here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the way that it almost looks as if you're, like, there are multiple wings flapping at once that have all just sort of blended into this single feathered image surrounding the angel itself.
Mm-hmm. And it's just this sort of, like, shining light, pure, clean thing coming through, like, the dust and heat and groggy grodiness of battle.
That is implied to, that's implied to be this horrible battle that's going on somewhere.
Yep.
So, next we have another Jace. I believe this making him the fifth as well. Yeah, because Architect of Thought was the fourth.
Uh-huh.
So, Jace the Living Guild Pact. Because in case you didn't read the books for Return to Ravnica, he is now the Living Guild Pact.
Hmm.
So for two colorless and two blue, he is a Planeswalker Jace. He is a mythic rare. Duh. He comes in with 5 loyalty. Plus 1, look at the top 2 cards of your library, put one of them into your graveyard. Not bad. It's a nice way of like manipulating your deck, and if you need to get things in your graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
Minus 3, return another target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Okay, so just like anything that is not Jace or a land, bounce it. Minus 8, each player shuffles his or her library... Sorry, shuffles his or her hand and graveyard into his library. You draw 7 cards.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
Uh-huh.
And I do like that he's not exactly a... He's not one of those planeswalkers who goes, I cast my ultimate, I win. And he's not, like, a win condition in himself. He's a much more, like, support card this time around. Which I think is... why he's got such a high starting loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
So that he's not a, I go off and I win the game. It's a, I go off and I get to keep playing this game.
Yeah.
And so do you, sort of, because it also affects the other players.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It's cool because the battlefield stays in.
Yeah, he doesn't really mess with the battlefield at all. I mean, he can bounce things, but that's his minus 3, and if you have any intention of getting his ultimate, which, let's face it, not everyone does, you'll probably never do that. But I do like that he does kind of protect himself.
Hi.
Well, do you want the next one?
Sure. Jalira, Master Polymorphist, who is... Excellent. Excellent work, all everybody. 3 colorless, 1 blue, rare, legendary creature, human wizard, who's a 2/2. For 2 colorless, 1 blue, tap. Sacrifice another creature. Reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a non-legendary creature card. Put that card onto the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. You can become anything if I just put my mind to it. That's great.
She's like, I can't tell if she's turning the rabbit into the crocodile
or the crocodile into the rabbit.
I think it's the rabbit into the crocodile.
Uh-huh.
Just because of the weird way that the aura seems to be emanating away from the rabbit.
Uh-huh.
The crocodile seems more...
Mm-hmm.
But I do like that it's...
You can become it.
I like that it's literally, I have only one non-legendary creature. That's what it's going to turn into. Just make sure every other card in your deck is a legendary creature or not a creature.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strategy.
Yep.
Let's go with that.
I don't know how doable that is, but it'd be fun to see someone do that.
It's a thing. Mm-hmm. So we've got the next one of the, what I believe they call the Curd Ape cycle.
Good heavens.
Jarobi Murklurker. For 2 colors and a blue, it is an uncommon creature leech. So, obviously, its art is terrifying.
Just Murklurker. That sounds like a derogatory thing you call someone.
It is a 1/3. Jarobi... Did I say Jarobi? I think I said Jarobi initially. Jarubi? Jarubi?
Jarubi. Yeah. There's a lot of letters. Yeah. I'm not sure how they're supposed to be pronounced.
Me neither. Well, it gets +1/+1 as long as you control Swamp, and for 1 black, 1 colorless and 1 black, target creature gains lifelink until end of turn. I do like that it's target creature, not Murklurker. It, like, target creature. Did the other one say that? That was tap target creature for the Dauntless River Marshal.
Uh-huh.
Like, this makes less sense. But I have no problem with that, because it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
It can do whatever it wants. I'm not going to mess with it.
Well, I don't know. I think it works for me, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's very large.
It's not cuddly.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Slightly, but not really, more cuddly.
No,
Soul of Ravnica is slightly more cuddly. Arguably. There's a hand.
There's two hands.
For whatever reason, I only saw one, and the other one looked like it was in his cloaks for a second. Okay. Hey, Soul of Ravnica, 4 colorless, 2 blue, mythic rare creature avatar 6/6 with flying. For 5 colorless and 2 blue, draw a card for each color among permanents you control. It's cool. And then for 5 and 2 colorless, exile Soul of Ravnica from your graveyard. Draw a card for each color among permanents you control.
I do like that it has, like, when I think Ravnica, I do kind of think blue. It tends to have that sort of feeling, even though every color combination is represented there.
Right.
But blue definitely works, and I love that it still refers to the fact that Ravnica has all of this, like, diversity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it still is colors among permanents you control gets you an extra benefit.
Mm-hmm.
However, Ravnica is about to rotate out, so there'll be less support for that, but
yeah,
we'll see. I don't expect that this one will do super well, but we'll see.
It's very pretty, the artwork.
Very, very pretty.
It's
kind of terrifying, but very pretty.
Yes.
Yeah. Something about the soulless eyes and, mm-hmm. like, the no mouth are disturbing.
Yeah, free.
Yeah. So up next, we've got Liliana Vess, the original Liliana Vess. No alterations at all. For 3 colorless and 2 black, it's a Planeswalker Liliana, mythic rare, comes in with 5 loyalty. For +1, target player discards a card, making her sort of a support card if you want to do mm-hmm. a Waste Not deck. Pay 2, search your library for a card, then shuffle your library and put that card on top of it. Then -8, which I love this ability, and I actually get to cast this fairly often in command. I feel like a horrible person, but I love it, and it's worth it. -8, put all creature cards from all graveyards onto the battlefield under your control.
Can't see why that would make you feel terrible and glorious all at the same time.
Well, usually I win, so it's a very short-lived feeling, except for the happiness. The happiness lasts a while.
Uh-huh.
So I think you got this neck over you.
Weird, weird little buddy who's gotten couple other buddies and some jars.
Yeah.
Necromancer Stockpile. 1 colorless, 1 black. It's a rare enchantment. 1 and black. Discard a creature card. Draw a card. If the discarded card was a zombie card, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield tap. The experiments decided to perform some research of their own.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
That's much more terrifying. But
you can see that our little buddy friend has broken out of his vial.
Yeah, yeah, he's cracked out of his vial. He's just like, I'm free!
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the fact that it's just like, oh, you discarded the potential for a zombie? Well, here, have a zombie. Like,
yep.
I like that. And I like the fact that it's you discard a card to then draw a card.
Well, I feel like that just works for zombies so well. It's like, you put a zombie in the graveyard, so it rises.
It's like, I'm not staying in there. Whoa, you called? I'm here. So up next, we have another one of the Curd Apes. We have Nightfire Giant. For 4 colors and a black. Get that phone, I don't care. He is a creature zombie giant. He's an uncommon. He's a 4/3 before any of his additives, so that's scary. And as long as you control a mountain, he gains +1/+1. So if you play him and control a mountain, you've got a 5/4/5. That seems not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Plus he's a zombie. Maybe there'll be some tribal stuff that'll make zombies better. And then for 4 colors and a red, Nightfire Giant deals 2 damage to target creature or player. Just like, wham! You're ugly.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, I'm going to...
Nightfire smash.
Yeah, I do love the use of the purple fire.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the way that he almost has, like, he's almost got a fireplace built in his belly. And it's just, like, engulfing his entire body and his lower jaw.
Yeah, the way his armor looks, it does sort of look like a fireplace with grates and stuff.
I do like that it's almost implied that he's just like, I don't need armor on my chest. I have nothing there. It's just fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can see what appear to be ribs almost.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm wondering if those are ribs or if those are supposed to be remnants of the armor that used to cover that spot that he just decided wasn't worth it anymore.
It's hard to tell. Sure.
So I guess you just get all the souls.
All of them. Just like real life.
Yeah.
I have several.
None. What the hell?
Well, it is exactly just like real life, then. No. You have no soul.
No.
Soul of Innistrad, 4 colorless, 2 black, mythic rare creature avatar is a 6/6 with death touch. For 3 colorless, 2 black, return up to 3 target creature cards from your graveyard to your hand. Or exile it from your graveyard.
Yeah. He's one of those ones where it's just like, no, I don't care if you killed him. I'm still getting back out of the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that it's to your hand and not straight to the battlefield, or else that would be much more expensive.
Yes.
Like, this is actually reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems really good. And I love the art of it, I must say that. Like, the fact that it's this sort of, like, animated graveyard that's begun to stand up and try to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way that the gravestones seem to almost frame the sort of arches and areas of his back is so well done.
It's a really, really pretty card.
It's so pretty. It's so beautiful.
I want a poster of that.
Me too.
Add that to the list.
Okay, we did those two. We did Aggressive Mining. So that means I get Chandra Pyromaster. So she's the reprint from last year's Chandra when she was new. So for 2 colorless and 2 red, it's a Planeswalker Chandra. Mythic Rare, she comes in with 4 loyalty. For her plus 1, Chandra Pyromaster deals 1 damage to target player and 1 damage to up to 1 target creature that player controls. That creature can't block this turn. That's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I poke you in the eye, I poke your creature in the eye, and maybe it explodes, and now it can't hit me.
Woo!
Or now it can't block me. Then we've got, for 0, exile the top card of your library. You may play it this turn. Like, it's sort of red card draw.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, exile it. Also, increases power of, what's it called? Warden of the Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
But exile a card, if I can use it this turn, I'll cast it. If I can't, then, well, it's lost, and now I won't draw that card next turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then -7, exile the top 10 cards of your library. Choose an instant or sorcery card exiled this way and copy it 3 times. You may cast the copies without paying their mana costs.
Yay.
Yeah? Sweet. I like it.
Yes.
So, I believe this one's
the Chieftain?
Yeah.
A weird werewolf ape horrifying thing.
Yep, the Kur-Chieftain.
Kur-Chieftain, 3 colorless, 1 red, uncommon, 3/3 creature ape. Kur-Chieftain gets +1/+1 as long as you control a forest. And for 4 colorless and green, target creature gets +2/+2 and gains trample until end of turn. If this would assign enough damage to its blockers to destroy...
I think we know what trample does.
For some reason, I thought it was saying something new for a second.
No, it's just reminder text. He's pretty sweet, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his art is a little bit odd, but... Eh.
It's nice use of green and red, I think.
It's very nice use. I mean, the original Kurd Ape was red, like, in color and in skin color.
Mm-hmm.
So I can appreciate this, and I do like the way that they've sort of focused how his hair actually mostly covers his legs and arms.
Mm-hmm.
And that his chest...
Decency?
Is like, yeah. It's more of just the fact that when I think of a gorilla, you always seem to think of the, like, muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice way of, like, sort of displaying the, like, he's a powerful creature.
Yep.
Like, he's, if you play him when you have a forest, he's a 4/4.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty good. And I do like that, again, he can give his ability to someone else.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be him. Might makes right. For 5 colors and a red, it's an uncommon enchantment. At the beginning of combat, on your turn, if you control each creature on the battlefield with the greatest power, gain control of target creature and opponent controls until end of turn. Untap that creature, it gains haste until end of turn. An Oath of Fealty sworn with a handshake. I like that it's basically, I control the biggest dude, you, come over and help me for this turn. I don't care, shut up and help me.
Uh-huh. Like, they're bullying you into it.
Yeah. It is the idea of it's a threaten. Or what's the current card that does that all the time? Active aggression? No, not active aggression.
You get one.
Oh, I don't know what. Well, I'm going to throw this. Do you want to take the next card?
Uh-huh, yes, and then you get a soul afterwards, finally.
Yeah!
It's about time. Only waited 21 years or so. Shrapnel Blast. One colorless, one red is an uncommon instant. As an additional cost to cast Shrapnel Blast, sacrifice an artifact. Shrapnel Blast deals 5 damage to target creature or player. It requires immense pressure to imbue an item with magic if the spell is broken. And someone's head's exploding.
Someone is wearing a Mindslaver, which is exploding on his head.
I see.
Yes. So
that sounds fluffy bunny fun
times.
I mean,
just think about this. It's 2 mana for 5 damage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's amazing. And
yep.
If you have anything that copies it, then it's like, oh, well, here's 10 damage for 2 mana.
Oh,
fun.
Was it Chandra? 3 copies?
Oh, wow. And you don't have to pay the cost, which means you don't have to sack an artifact. Eh. Yeah, that's scary. Mm-hmm. I know that when this card was initially printed, it was in Mirrodin block.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the big scary things was to attach it, because it only costs 2, you could attach it to an Isochron Scepter, which basically says you can imprint a instant or sorcery that only costs 2 mana onto this, and then whenever you tap it, you cast a copy without paying its mana cost. Well, without paying its cost.
Hmm.
So it's just, you don't have to pay the cost anymore. Oh, so you're just going to Shrapnel Blast me to death, aren't you? Yeah, pretty much.
Yay!
So yay, I get Soul of Chandelar. Of course, I get the soul of the plane that we've never actually been to yet, but whatever. So, he's also possibly one of the best. For 4 colorless and 2 red, creature avatar, mythic rare, 6/6, with first strike. Also, pay 3 colorless and 2 red, Soul of Chandelar deals 3 damage to target player, and 3 damage to up to 1 target creature that player controls.
Hmm.
And then you can also do that one time from the graveyard and exile him. It's amazing.
Nicely.
It's just like, you play him, he sits there, he's got first strike, you block for a turn, next turn, hit you in the face for 3 damage, blow up whatever threat you might have, mm-hmm. also swing at you for 6 with first strike. Like, I just turned the tides on the game. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Find a dark corner, yeah. Rock back and forth and cry.
On top of that, I also love the art.
Yes.
Because it's just like this beautiful, like, I can't tell if he's sort of like this avatar is sort of standing on the edge of an ocean or something.
Mm-hmm.
But something is, like, there is either magical energy or like water or wind is just like blowing against him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just clearly standing against it with his terrifying lightning spear. I'm like, nah, you ain't getting past.
Nope.
Nothing good will come.
Me and my scale birds will, you know, show you squeaks. Stoke the Flames. 2 colorless, 2 red, uncommon instant. Convoke, creatures can, blah, blah, blah. Can help cast things on the stuff with the, you know, we've talked about.
Yeah, convoke.
Stroke the Flames deals 4 damage to target creature or player.
I do like that this is I think this is the first time that Convoke has been seen in red.
Mm.
Or outside of green and white, because it was originally the first Selesnya ability. I knew you were special.
I like the evil flame snake, which kind of goes back to the snake charmer thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you've charmed it, and so now it's going to do your bidding.
Yeah, it's also kind of terrifying, because
it's... That's not what snake charming actually is, but, you know, it's what we think.
It's clearly a bunch of barbarians who are just, like, raising some kind of fire elemental to...
Mm-hmm.
Do their bidding, which is to go hit that thing. I don't care if you survive Fire Elemental until just hit that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So up next we've got Cord of Culling for X and 3 green. It's a rare instant with Convoke. Search your library for a creature card with converted mana cost X or less. Put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. So it's kind of like Green Sun Zenith.
Mm-hmm.
Except that it costs 2 more green and has Convoke and doesn't put this card itself back into your library.
Mm-hmm.
So, less broken-ish, mm-hmm. but more usable, I guess, because you have a way to increase the X without having to have the needing to have the mana.
Uh-huh. And it's also really cool card art of, you know, maybe like a dozen or so, looks like elves, I'd imagine, raising this immense saber-toothed tiger.
I don't know if that quite counts as a saber-toothed tiger, because those are tusks, not saber teeth.
Well, like, you know...
I mean, like, they're just going the wrong way. Like, that can't be comfortable at all.
It'd be interesting to be an elephant for a day, see how you feel about it.
So I think you get this one, and then you'll get another soul.
I just did the last one.
Oh, did you?
Did I? No, I didn't.
Court of Calling.
Okay.
You get the dead unicorn.
I just said a thing. Thanks. Life's legacy. One colorless, one green. Rare sorcery. Rare. I threw the mic filter. It looks more red. Rare sorcery. As an additional cost to cast Life Legacy, sacrifice a creature, which I don't know if that's ironic or, you know. What are you doing, goodness? Draw cards equal to the sacrifice creature's power. At the instant of death, the mystery of life.
So it's basically like something dies, but more life comes out of the death.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like it should be green-black, but I think it works in just green, too.
Yep.
So up next, we have Nissa Worldwaker. So, Nissa is back again. Her art depicts her still on Zendikar, so clearly she didn't just like run away like she was planning on doing.
So,
weird. For 3 colorless and 2 green, Planeswalker Nissa. She's a mythic rare. Now, she costs 5 and comes in with only 3 loyalty counters, but...
It's 2 plus 1 abilities.
Yeah, she's got 2 plus 1 abilities. Her first is plus 1. Tap target land you control becomes a... Sorry, not tap. What am I saying? Plus 1 loyalty. Target land you control becomes a 4/4 elemental creature with trample. It is a land. It doesn't say until end of turn. It's just... It's a creature now.
Nice.
Which is... Good? For plus 1, untap up to 4 target forests. Okay, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're losing the shock lands, so you won't be able to go, well, this overgrown tomb is a forest and a swamp, but it's still a forest, so I can untap it. Mm-hmm. At least not in standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then, lastly, for minus 7, search your library for any number of basic land cards. Put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library... Those lands become 4/4 elemental creatures with trample. They're still lands.
Is there any reason why you wouldn't put all of your lands onto the battlefield?
I'm sure there is one. Like, if you've got a Trench Gorger, which you may search your... When you play it, you can search your library for lands, remove them from... I think it's put them in the graveyard, actually, and it comes into play bigger. It's a weird blue creature from one of Commander sets.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of my... Protean Hydra or whatever and stuff and making the thing just freaking enormous.
Like, it's a little bit weird because you're making them creatures, so they're more vulnerable now.
Uh-huh.
And it's also the fact that she was, like, the original Nissa card was frankly kind of racist because she was like, all of my abilities involve helping elves. And now suddenly she's just like, I connect with the land. I mean, where did the elf theme go? I don't have a problem with the new one, it's just, why no more elf stuff? But,
Curious.
Yeah,
okay. So I get...
What do you know?
I get another soul, as we've discussed for the past couple cards. Soul of Zendikar. 4 colorless, 2 green, mythic rare creature avatar, 6/6 with reach. Goodness.
Reach kind of makes me go,
There are other things.
Give it trample.
Yeah.
It's green. Why not just give it trample?
Especially considering the size of the thing on the art.
Yeah.
So, for 3 colorless and 2 green, put a 3/3 green beast creature token onto the battlefield, or do it when you exile it from the graveyard.
Yeah, I mean, he's not bad.
Stop shoving your dribble on me.
I think they showed an alternate art one of him that looked less bad. Like, I'm sorry, but he's not my favorite art.
I like his tree legs.
I like the tree legs, and I like the fact that he's basically got a tortoise shell made out of hadrons, but...
His face.
Yeah. I swear they showed... I'm going to have to scroll all the way up here for
a second. Yay!
I swear they showed another version. God damn it, new site. Sorry, I'm not quite used to the new site yet. This one, maybe? I'm just trying to find the article where they went over it. It's an Arcana article, and I'm still not entirely sure how to hunt through the new site completely.
This is why I hated Facebook for a long time, because every time I finally understood how it worked, they changed it.
Yeah. Extra problem is I just can't find, like, an Arcana backlog thing. Oliver, can you really go a few minutes without being a pest?
I thought that's what you hired me for.
No one hired you. We adopted you, you spaz.
No, I'm pretty sure you pay me to be a goof bucket.
No, we don't. Okay.
Everybody loves me. I'm flawless. Mm. I'm a magnificent beast.
Sure.
I feel like Gimli might actually be legitimately more magnificent.
Hang on. Arcana. No! I just want to go to the...
I believe in you.
I'm going to hit Archive and hope that it's, like, Arcana Archive. No. Maybe it is.
Hmm.
What? No.
What?
I don't know what that art is, but it's disturbing. For God's sake. I just wanted Arcana. Oh, okay, this might actually be it. Packaging, 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 but nope. Oh, God. I swear they showed alternate art for this and,
Is it under the September chroma?
No, because that's something different.
Okay.
They showed alternate art for both, Soul of Zendikar and Soul of Ravnica. And I don't know where they went, and it's going to drive me insane.
Maybe doing a Google search help instead?
Maybe. Hang on, let's see here.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Thank you for holding. Your call is important to us.
Ravnica. This one? Yes. Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So, frankly, these are some of the ones where I'm like, I like these better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot better. Because these are the promos that will come with... you can get 6 card promotional boosters featuring one of 2 alternate art promo cards when you purchase Duels of the Planeswalkers 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Soul of Zendikar and the Soul of Ravnica. I actually like both of these arts better than their originals, which is rare for me to say with promo.
Yeah.
Like, I really like these.
I think Soul of Ravnica, I, like, find the artwork, the official artwork, more attractive, but it's not necessarily the one that works better for what, in context of the card.
I like that this one actually sort of implies the idea that, like, it's on Ravnica. It's a city. It's not in the weird depths. It's a city. There are people around it. There are people coming to it.
Uh-huh. And a lot of, like, kind of tan and brown and gold and stuff that implies, like, all the colors.
Yeah, and it's people who are coming to it because it's gaining knowledge, and this thing gives knowledge. And it's this idea of, like, sharing the knowledge between the people of Ravnica. And then I really like the Zendikar one because it's not this weird sort of, like, almost poorly done Miyazakian beast. It's this sort of, like, slow... ancient creature that looks like it would fit perfectly into Shadow of the Colossus.
It's like a more earthy Cthulhu, almost. Like the way the moss is hanging down, kind of. Yeah,
and yet it's also got those sort of, like, tusks, and it still uses the hadrons on its back, but they're more random.
Elspeth, or...?
No, Elspeth's dead.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know who that is, but there's a person in front of it.
Uh-huh. Scale person.
Yeah. Scale person, just to go,
I definitely like the Soul of Zendikar better.
Now then, where
were we?
Herps. Herpsiderps.
Herpiderpopotamus.
Okay, so I get Sunblade Elf. And then I think, is this going to be your first Planeswalker that you get?
I think so, yes.
So, Sunblade Elf is the last of the Curd Ape series. 1 green, creature elf warrior. Gets +1/+1 as long as you control planes. It's a 1/1 normally. Also, it's an uncommon, I think I forgot that part. For 4 colorless and 1 white, creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn. All creatures you control.
Nice.
Yeah. And we patrol
this... this thing could become a 3/3, and that's for 1.
It could become more than a 3/3, because that doesn't require tapping.
No.
You just keep doing it.
Ah.
We patrol the steps to keep enemies from the forest verge.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty nice art, too. And I do like the fact that it very much portrays that, because it's an elf who's not in the forest. They're out in the fields, making sure that no one makes it to their homeland.
Whoop.
Yeah, it's very nicely done.
And what was the flame tag? We patrol the steppers to keep... We patrol the steps to keep enemies.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the purple and green together. I feel like that's a thing people don't do enough.
Yeah.
Purple and green. I like it. Garruk Apex Predator. I don't know enough to know if it's a reprint or new or what.
Okay, so Garruk Apex Predator is brand new.
Okay,
I thought so. The antagonist for this set because way back when Liliana cursed him when she got the Chain Veil,
mm-hmm.
and now he seems to have sort of, like, come into understanding the black mana and has started to use it to just hunt everyone now.
I see.
Which is why the tagline for this set is also Hunt Bigger Game.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, he costs 5 colorless, 1 black, 1 green, and obviously he's a Planeswalker, Garruk, Mythic, Rare, with 5 loyalty counters. Sally enters the battlefield.
7. Oh. Sorry, it's just a lot.
Okay. Yeah. And so for plus, he has 4 abilities, 2 of which are pluses. The first plus 1, destroy another target Planeswalker. It's fun.
Like, that's just awesome. He's just like, for
boom!
For 7 mana, you just go, well, play him. Go up to 6, kill whatever you have that I don't like.
Yeah. You can also, for plus 1, put a 3/3 black beast creature token with death touch onto the battlefield, which sounds kind of nifty.
Yeah.
For minus 3, destroy target creature, you gain life equal to its toughness. Or for minus 8, target opponent gets an emblem with whenever a creature attacks you, it gets +5/+5 and gains trample until end of turn.
I like that it's target opponent gets the emblem, not... like, I get an emblem that does a thing, it's you get an emblem, and if anyone attacks you. So if we're doing a multiplayer game, like, hey, Bob, do you want an emblem? No, I don't. Hey, Bob, you have an emblem.
No,
like, Steve's
no.
sitting over there at the other side, and he's like, well, I was going to attack you, but if I attack Bob, then I'll get, like, 20 times more damage, so I'll attack Bob. Like, you bastard.
Ah.
Like, this is a beautiful card, and I really like what it does.
Yep. Yeah, it's really nice art and everything.
Yeah. And I mean, when you hear Planeswalker costs 7, you just kind of go like, what? That's not reasonable at all, because almost it costs 7, and then the only ability that I'm going to want to do is a plus ability the first turn I play it, and if I do a plus ability, then like all the plus abilities tend to be kind of crap. Like, why would I want to do that? Or and then
I like both of those
like,
plus abilities.
Like, both these plus abilities are awesome. Either destroy a creature or get a 3/3 black creature that can... Planeswalker, sorry. Or get a 3/3 black creature that can destroy any creature.
Yep.
Because it has death touch. Oh my god.
Yep. Good things.
Yeah. So we are almost done.
Obelisk?
I'm just trying to check how many more things we have to do. Because we desperately should try to finish soon.
Pretty art on the lands.
Yeah.
I like lands too much.
Yeah, we're just going to say that we have the Pain lands. It's the enemy colored ones. So it's Yavimaya Coast, Shivan Reef... Llanowar Wastes, and Battlefield Forge, and Cave of Koilos. Also, Darksteel Citadel got reprinted. It is an artifact land. It's going to be an uncommon, and it's indestructible and can tap for colorless. So we've got 4 cards to do.
Mm-hmm.
5 cards to do. Sorry, 4. Plus, there's also Urborg Tomb of Yawgmoth has been reprinted, as it's a legendary land. Rare, each land is a swamp in addition to its other types. So, that's pretty sweet. Okay, so we have 4 cards we have to do, and we're, like, really running long on time.
I blame Oliver.
Yeah, you did Garruk, so I'll do Obelisk of Urd. For 6 colorless, it's a rare artifact with Convoke. As Obelisk of Urd enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Creatures you control of the chosen type get +2/+2.
Nice.
It's also implied to be a sliver just because of, like,
mm-hmm.
if you look at it, the central obelisk is very much in the design of a traditional sliver, which they seem to be going back to. They have said that there will be slivers in this set. Here's hoping they go back to the original design. I don't have a big problem with the new design, but I really like the old one.
Right.
Like, I don't even have a problem with the way that they do the abilities now. It's just I like the way that the slivers used
to. I have to sneeze.
Uh-oh.
It's not going to happen.
Uh-oh.
Perilous Vault.
Yep.
4 colorless mythic rare artifact for 5 and tap. Oh, it cost 4, right?
Yeah.
For 5 and tap, exile Perilous Vault, exile all non-land permanents. The Spirit Dragon Ugrin arranged the Hedrons of Zendikar to direct ley lines of energy. To disrupt one is to unleash devastation and chaos.
I like how we're going back to Zendikar a lot in this, like, just with these cards.
Mm-hmm.
And referring to Ugin, who we have... we still know nothing about him besides the fact that he was some kind of ancient dragon planeswalker who used colorless mana somehow.
Sounds like that might be a thing to come up with Takir's.
Maybe.
Takir.
I mean, one of the theories behind the spirit dragon that what's his name, Zarkon Vol talked to before he went completely insane, is that it might have been, like, a remnant of Ugin's spirit, but we don't know. So, Phyrexian Revoker, this is an interesting pick, because it's basically a pithing needle on... So, for two colorless, it's an artifact creature horror, it's rare. It's a 2/1, as Phyrexian Revoker enters the battlefield, name a non-land card. Activated abilities of sources with the chosen name can't be activated. To be in the presence of a Revoker is to be truly alone. Kara Vist, Nurok Agent. It's a reprint, but it's... creepy still.
It's because its eyes are here and
there
its
are
mouth
six
is here
souls.
And...
there are six. You got five of them.
I am a wizard. Soul of New Phyrexia. Six colorless mythic rare avatars. A 6/6 trample. That's where it went. For five colorless permanents you control gain indestructible until end of turn, or you can do it when you exile from the graveyard. And that is terrifying looking.
Yeah. Like, it's perfect, though. It's so sweet, and it has the perfect, like that looks like New Phyrexia, because I don't know about anyone else, but especially the followers of Norn tend to be what I think of when I think of New Phyrexia, and this works perfectly. It's terrifying, but it works perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I almost say this is... I'd say, at least to me, this is probably tied for second best of the souls, because Chandelar is still best, but this is... damn close.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least is the land with the most text ever. I don't think it really is, but it's close. Sliver Hive. This is a whole new card, and yet it has the old sliver art, so... the old sliver style, so hopefully we're getting more old style slivers. It is a rare land with tap. Add one mana, one colorless mana to your mana pool. It also has tap. Add one mana of any color to your mana pool. Spend this mana only... hiccup and die. To cast a sliver spell. Last but not least, pay five and tap. Put a 1/1 colorless sliver creature token onto the battlefield. Activate this ability only if you control a sliver. So that may seem like a lot for a 1/1, but if you know how slivers work, that 1/1 will not be a 1/1 by the time it enters the battlefield.
Yep.
It will be something much scarier.
Uh-huh.
It may even just be a 1/1 with flying. That's still terrifying.
Yep.
And worth it.
You'd probably only be a 1/1 flying thing for like a minute, and then
Slivers are scary. Uh-huh. I love slivers.
But yeah, sliver desks are decks. Not desks.
I desperately need this for the sliver commander deck I'm trying to dish.
Yep. I was about to say yes, you do. And.
And that is the last card.
The important stuff.
Yep. Because we went over the. Well, we skimmed over the Painlands very briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Urborg is being reprinted, yada yada. So far, I'm actually very, very excited for
M15.
This corset. Yeah.
No one's ever excited about corsets. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. This corset should not have any right to be this, like, making me this happy, but
I was making a woman clothing of medievalness pun, but okay.
I didn't hear it at all, so...
Corset.
Oh.
Those things that you get sucked into.
It's a corset.
Yeah, I said it that way.
Of course. Okay.
Well, it's spelled with an E. And yeah.
I assumed you were just saying it very quickly. Oh, well.
It's a pun, whether you caught it or not.
Yeah. Well.
That has been a long episode.
Yes, it has. Hopefully after silence truncation, this will go down a bit. But right now, we're at almost 2 hours. Before we leave, remember you can always email us at showoffnf.com. Sorry, showoffnf@gmail.com. You can actually check out our site at showoffnf.com, where, like, I write...
Show off and F.
No, I know, but no. where, like, I write semi-regularly, and we post videos daily, and Stephanie will, on occasion...
Drop
down from on high and write something.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
It's one of these, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm decompressing and getting used to my new environment.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, she moved to Denver, in case anyone didn't guess. She's not just visiting, she's actually, like, living here now.
Yeah. Well, it sounded like a good idea at the time. We'll see how that goes. Sam feels like I'm just going to slam my door in your face a lot of the time.
Oh, that would be bad. Especially since I'm the one who's supposed to help you find a job. That would be really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, Stephanie, you need to find a job.
Yeah.
Nope.
So, What else? You can follow me at Cap America, just like it's spelled in the show notes, on Twitter. What is your Twitter?
Steph and F.
You can follow our YouTube directly if you actually like any of the gaming videos we do, because there will be more once we actually manage to figure out exactly how we want to do our Patreon thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that will take some time.
You shouldn't have asked Patreon videos.
No. Or just our plan for it at all. Because there's extra stuff we have to put into it and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But on that note, you should definitely check out the Manapool Kickstarter. Because, let's face it, Chewie is a good guy, and most of it's going to be going towards making sure he doesn't starve.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, most of it is going towards them producing their merch, which will then lead towards him not starving.
Mm-hmm.
So, still, go check out their Kickstarter. I'm going to include it in the show notes, but frankly, you can also just go to Kickstarter and search the Manapool. It's the one with Chewie on it. If you don't know what Chewie looks like, he's the scary guy, the scary ginger guy. Let's go with that. I can't remember if their Kickstarter thing has... I think it's Mike's beard who eats babies. That might be on there, too. I can't remember. One of their beards eats babies.
Okay.
But it's not the one that looks like a spring or something like that. Apparently that's a thing. It's not that one. It's the one of that looks like a bunch of goofy people are on it. So go with that one.
The sort who would play magic.
Yeah. Like, just look up Chewie on Facebook. He'll probably agree if you try to friend him. He's fairly likable. And then go watch his stand-up and wonder how on earth he doesn't curse his way through every episode of Monday Night Magic. So, still, go check out theirs whenever we actually manage to get ours off the ground and not horribly delayed. We'll send you there, too. I think that's all we got today.
Uh-huh. One of these days, that Demir episode.
Yeah.
One of these
days. You're just going to bring that up every time I let you near this mic, aren't you?
Anytime you let me near you at all.
Apparently.
I worked so hard on those show notes.
I know.
They're beautiful and perfect.
Hopefully we'll
try to get to... I don't even remember them anymore.
I do. I have them saved here.
Well, I don't remember what I did. I just remember I found like some really cool like image or something. It's like stuff.
Well, hopefully maybe we'll do that next time. We'll see.
Yay!
We'll see. So, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Ta-ra.
Bye.